I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beam me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hour number two, and we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Steve Weich is going to join us, NFL Network Insider. Talk about week number one of the NFL season, and if there's discussions behind the scenes of the NFL about possible collusion or tampering from the Patriots, considering Antonio Brown clearly wanted his release, his quote-unquote freedom, and within about 5 minutes, the Patriots had conveniently had a bag of cash waiting for him. Also, later on in this hour, is the Jaguar season already over? Nick Foles' broken clavicle. Yikes. I know you guys want to jump in on a ton of stuff surrounding week number one of the NFL season. And so dial me up at 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The Miami Dolphins were beyond trash yesterday. And now we have the report that multiple Dolphins players asked for a trade via their agents after the game yesterday. That is a roster that, A, doesn't believe that the organization's trying to win this year and doesn't want to be around to watch the losing, suffer through the losing. That is partially that. That's also partially a roster that clearly does not think much of its head coach. And I don't know if Brian Flores was the right hire. I mean, people around the Dolphins seem to think that he's a pretty smart dude, but he's got a world of a problem on his hands. He's got a mutiny on his hands after week one. Are the Ravens good? Yeah, they should be pretty good. Is Lamar Jackson good? Yeah, he should be pretty good. Are they 59 points good? No. No, you'll never see the Ravens look like that again this season. And it makes you wonder, not only are the Dolphins headed for 0-16, but if Flores can keep the ship the entire season. I mean, it's week number one, and you just gave up 59 points, and multiple players are asking for their trade, a trade, right after the game, their first game. This is going to be a nightmarish season. And I'll tell you, I don't mind the plan here by the Dolphins. I don't. You have been stuck in neutral, essentially, for the better part of 30 years after Dan Marino. I mean, at least 25 years. And you've been 9-7, 10-6 on your best day, usually 7-9, 8-8. I mean, you know, what's the use in forever being 8-8? Ask Jeff Fisher. So I don't mind ripping it down to the studs, getting draft picks. I mean, the Dolphins have a haul of picks now coming up over the next couple of years. They've got ones and twos coming out of their ears, coming out of their gills. Actually, I don't think Dolphins have gills. They're mammals. But he's got to keep the ship, and I don't know if he can. Yesterday looked like a team that not only was bad, but really quit, really didn't care to be out there. And I think you got to give Flores some time. I think you got to give him some credit. I think you got to give him some patience. But if guys are going to quit on him midway through this season because they don't believe that he knows what he's doing or that he's trying to lose or something, what's the use in even having him? Number two on this. Why did John Harbaugh fake a punt up 42-3? I cannot figure this out. I really can't, and I'm open to any and all theories on this. The Ravens led 42-3 in a game against the Dolphins that they're not blood rivals. This isn't the Steelers. I don't think there's anything that happened between these two organizations that Harbaugh felt like he had to take out a butt-whooping on or some type of, it was like a personal vendetta. He's up 42-3 in a game that is so clearly over, and he runs a fake punt. Now, after the game, Brian Flores said, hey, it's not his job to slow himself down. We've got to stop him. So it didn't sound like the Dolphins were PO'd about it, but what is the reason there? The only thing I can think of is that in a game like 42-3, you're basically just working on stuff, and it's essentially an extended preseason game, and so I guess they wanted to run the fake punt to see if it would work. But, Mraz, what other theories could there be? Also, you don't really want to put a fake on film unless you absolutely have to for other teams to prepare for. So it seems like such a waste for John Harbaugh to have run a fake punt up 42-3.
I marinated on this like a good chicken in an Italian dressing for 24 hours.
Okay.
And the only thing I could come up with is last year at this time and even the weeks that followed, we had a lot of, is John Harbaugh going to be out in Baltimore? We did those stories almost weekly. And we said, how crazy would the Ravens be to get rid of John Harbaugh?
Bashotti was not going to give him the extension.
Right, not going to give him the extension. And I wonder if his agent had already started to work things out, look ahead, see breadcrumbs, what team was going to be getting rid of its head coach, who knows what was going to happen with Miami and Adam Gase. And I wonder if Harbaugh, somewhere under the table, maybe got close to a deal with Stephen Ross and with the Dolphins, and something there happened that didn't sit well with him, and he wanted to stick it to the Dolphins organization, something personally that affected him job-wise.
It's not crazy because, remember, there's always been the Dolphins with Jim Harbaugh.
Sure.
That Harbaugh, there was always the connections that Jim Harbaugh, once he left the Niners, has been flirting with the Dolphins for complete control, coach and GM responsibilities. So maybe there's a Harbaugh connection there where, yeah, they gave John Harbaugh an offer or they started to give him an offer.
Because remember, I don't think this is about players. When you run a fake punt.
It's so disrespectful.
Up 35 points. Like, that's personal. That is
42-3, they ran a fake punt.
Right. To me, that's on a coaching level, that's personal. So I'm looking at it from a Harbaugh perspective. I don't think it's about running things or trying to, because you wouldn't want to put the fake punt on tape anyway for anybody to see if you're really saving that for a big moment.
You have to save it for a big moment. I mean, you only run fake stuff like that in a crucial moment.
Now, Mike Tomlin can't watch tape on that punt and know exactly how it's going to operate. To me, this is a personal underlying issue with John Harbaugh and the Dolphins.
They ran a fake punt up 42-3. I don't think I've ever seen that. That's college stuff where you are trying to run up the score to either get your votes in for the AP poll, or because you think you've got to get some type of, I don't know, please the donors. I mean, up 42-3 to run a fake punt in the NFL is so disrespectful. It is so incredibly disrespectful. I can't believe he did it. Are the Dolphins going to go 0-16? How amazing is this? We had never had an 0-16 team until the 0-8 Lions. Never. We had an 0-14 Buccaneers team, but that was an expansion team in 76. Never an 0-16 team in any case. If the Dolphins do it this year, and granted we're still 15 weeks away from that glorious mark, the Dolphins would be the third 0-16 team in the last 10 years. 11. It never happened before. It's a lot of bad football recently. Your toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money. Switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Juan is next up. He's in PA, listening on 96.7 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Juan.
Hey, DA. Could you beam me up out of here? I can't watch these Bills play anymore, man.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to lose fingernails at the
There you go.
What's going on? Like, this is why I'm adamant about not starting a quarterback early. He's just not ready. He saw it in preseason. He's jittery. He makes bad decisions thrown across his body. 4 turnovers. Is this the recoming of Nathan Peterman in Buffalo? I can't take it anymore, DA.
Well, I guess you got to give Josh Allen credit for the comeback win because he somehow shook it all off. like Taylor Swift, and he came back and he scored the game-winning touchdown. And sounds like that locker room likes Josh Allen. Sounds like they consider him a tough guy and a winner and a gunslinger. Those are all adjectives that the Bills players use for their quarterback. I mean, I got to be honest, I don't see it, but yesterday, that was such a dreadful affair. The Bills and Jets, I'm just looking at this going, my eyes are literally going to fall out of my head because this is such disgustingness that I'm watching on this television screen right now. And Josh Allen had a lot to do with that. A lot. But ultimately, they won the game. And in Bills land, I guess you can't look a gift horse in the mouth. A win is a win is a win. It's on the road. It's in the division in a game you did not play particularly well in. So I want to give Josh Allen credit there. But, geez, those first three quarters. I mean, how awful was that? Fourth quarter, he turned it on. But the first three quarters, he's missing. He's missing every pass. He's sailing them over heads. And it looked like his worst days at Wyoming. Mraz, you give credit to Josh Allen because of the comeback win, or do you go like, oh, what does it matter if the first three quarters is just trash?
I definitely still have every question I think any of us had about Josh Allen you can't have answered yesterday. I think you still have to have every problem you had. However, that fourth quarter did show some moxie. That was a Jet defense, and I know C.J. Mosley got hurt and left the game, but turning the ball over four times and to be able to stay there and fight whether your defense kept you in it or not and lead a comeback win, that shows me at least something. Even if there's plenty you have to work on, having that it factor, that clutch fourth quarter factor is something that can't be accounted for. No stats will show you the numbers of that. Give me Josh Allen in the fourth quarter as a building block, but man, I'm still not confident. There's still enough there where ball security, the way he handles it when he runs, not reading defenses, you still have to have every question, but at least you might have a little bit of the it factor that could make up for it.
Not to flog a dead horse here, but on the AFC East, I mean, the Patriots have now won the division.
Well, they won it before.
They won it before that, but this is where anybody that argues the AFC East doesn't assist the Patriots is crazy, because the Patriots will easily be 14-2 or 15-1 probably this year.
16-0, you never know.
I don't think they're going to go 16-0, but it's on the table. 14-2, 15-1, 16-0. Look at the rest of this division. The Patriots are already good, obviously. But there might not be another team in this division that cracks 7 wins. You might have an 0-16 Dolphins team, a 6-10 Bills, and a 6-10 Jets.
One of those teams will get to 8 wins.
You think so?
I do.
The Jets' schedule does them no favors.
Well, they have to beat Cleveland on Monday night. Buffalo might be the team that does that, though. One of those teams will get to 8 wins.
Whew. I don't know. Okay, even if they do, it is a damn near certainty there will not be a winning record in that division outside of the Patriots.
And you might, for the first time in NFL history, have a team finish 16 games out for the division.
That's right. You might have a 16-0 Patriots team and an 0-16 Dolphins team. You know, yeah, the Patriots are already good. But knowing week one that you can pencil in 6 games against these 3 pathetic teams is obviously an assist. Because you can just scratch the Patriots right into a bye and hosting a divisional playoff game. Just put them right in there. You can't say the same thing about the Chiefs. As good as the Chiefs are, they've got 2 games against the Chargers. 2 games against the Broncos. And the Raiders will probably be trash. But you can't say this about, say, the Saints or the Rams, favorites of the NFC, that they just get an 0-16 team in their division and 2 other patsies that will be lucky to be 500. You can't say that. It is one of the greatest mysteries in NFL history how the AFC East for 20 years has been bad. 20 years. You had a 2-year run with the Jets making the AFC title game. That's the list of competition the Patriots had. And oh, by the way, one of those years, the Patriots lost to the Jets in the playoffs. 20 years. That 20 years, that division can't figure it out. And they ain't any closer right now. That Jets performance, by the way, I mean, come on. This entire offseason, we're talking about Le'Veon Bell and C.J. Mosley and spending money and Adam Gase and Sam Darnold taking the next step. And that's the performance at home against the Bills? We waited the entire offseason. Jets fans were finally excited. I had Jets. One of my cousins is a huge Jets fan. He goes, I'm finally excited for Jets football. I haven't been excited in years. I'm finally fired up. And then that was the performance. I mean, please. Steve Weich is going to join us coming up here next from NFL Network, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
You're gonna get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not gonna get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, come on! 22 minutes past the hour. D.A. with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And a reminder that the D.A. show... you can watch. You can watch us at watchda.com. That's available on any device, anywhere. Cap, the wizard of watchda.com, pulling levers, pressing buttons right there. Watch us on your phone, on your tablet, on your PC, your laptop, even your smart TV. Just punch up watchda.com. Our next guest is one of our favorites around here, NFL Insider for NFL Network, and you see him all over NFL Network, including on NFL Total Access, which tonight is at 6 p.m. Eastern Time as they get prepared for a doubleheader of Monday Night Football. And through the rest of the week, it's 7 p.m. Eastern Time on NFL Network. Steve White's joining us, our friend here from NFL Network. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, D.A. How's everything going, man?
Doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. And obviously, we've talked a lot about Antonio Brown of the Patriots. It seems relatively convenient that the moment that he's released and he's happy-go-lucky, jumping for joy, running out of his house, screaming, and he's loving it, the Patriots are ready with a bag of money to give it to him. Is there worry around the NFL that there was tampering or collusion between the Patriots and Drew Rosenhauser, or maybe even including AB, to force his way out to get to the Pats?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, that's an immediate thought. Now, I don't know if they're going to have any type of investigation. I don't know if the Raiders are going to bother to file tampering charges, but look, I mean, it's hard to, you know, look at the situation where it just goes south, right? He's posting pictures of a fine letter. He's cussing out his general manager. Just this unbelievable, unacceptable behavior. And then all of a sudden he gets released, and what is it, 6 hours later, he's got to deal with the Patriots. Now, maybe Drew Rosenhaus picked up the phone the minute after he was released and started working things. That always could happen. But, you know, it's just, I'm not going to say this whole thing was orchestrated. Look, this guy, cryogenic, he tore up his feet and things. I don't think he did that stuff on purpose. But some of the behavior, you know, we'll see. Is he unhinged? Was it strategic? I mean, we just don't know yet. I think the devil will be in the details of whether he lasts with the Patriots.
So you know how quickly things can or cannot move in the NFL. Getting a deal done for that much money within 6 hours of his release is a pretty blazingly fast deal to strike, right? Between him and the Pats?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, these things happen. Look, it takes 10 minutes to get a deal done.
Okay.
And the Patriots knew that Antonio Brown was going to be desperate, and they came out and you know, said, hey, we're here. He's got to meet these certain criteria, but it's here. But no, deals can get done very, very quickly.
Okay. Do you think that Antonio Brown will be on his best behavior in New England?
He could be on his best behavior, but is that best behavior good enough? I think that's the big question, because we've seen this in Pittsburgh. We saw it before he played a down with the Raiders. I mean, it's pretty consistent behavior. Now, we've seen guys change up when they get to New England. But, you know, for as many character issue guys, supposedly that the Patriots have brought in, I've just never seen somebody who just seems so caught up in the self-promotion and the potential destruction of a locker room like this. Randy Moss wasn't like this. Corey Dillon wasn't like this. I mean, this is a whole different character, in part because we're in the social media realm of things. Now, if he unplugs that way, this guy who's big about branding, then we know he's on his best behavior.
Steve Weich joins us from NFL Network. You were in Cleveland yesterday, and the Titans beat down the Browns. What was the biggest problem with the Browns yesterday in your mind?
Total lack of discipline. The penalties, they would make a nice play. Look, the Browns made a lot of nice plays, and they're coming back because of holding. They're coming back because of pass interference. I mean, it was amazing that the repeated lack of discipline. The lack of composure, like on the Derrick Henry screen. They throw it out there, 75 yards. There's nobody on that side of the field to get him. So is that coaching? I think you've got to put a big punch in the forehead on coaching. These are mistakes. Good teams don't make these types of mistakes over and over like they did. But part of it, you know, these are adult football players. They've got to grow up. They've got to learn their season isn't over. But the biggest issue were those things. Plus, Tennessee routinely popped them in the mouth, and after a while, it didn't seem like they liked it.
Is there any sense in your mind that perhaps the Titans are the best team in that division?
In my mind, yeah. I don't see any reason why they couldn't win it, especially now the Jags don't have Nick Foles. We see what's going on with Andrew Luck retiring. Houston's got its issues. Look, if Tennessee plays defense the way it played yesterday, they are going to be a problem. The offense, some very smart play calling. Just really smart play calling. Nothing too ambitious, but timely execution. I don't see why they can't win that division.
Steve, I can't figure out the Falcons. How does a team with all of that talent have the entire offseason to prepare for this game? There's urgency within that locker room. There's urgency in the coaching staff. Look like that. How does that happen?
Well, it happens because, you know, part of it is week one. You know, we're gonna revisit this in week seven and see if we're saying the same thing. But look, there's some guys who show up and there's some guys who don't. They played a very good team in the Vikings who were very, very well prepared for them. But it's just stunning to me when I look at some of the scores just around the NFL yesterday, DA, how many teams got just absolutely waxed. I mean, it's hard to lose games like that at any level. And to get blown out and not look good, like you said, after all that preparation, it's amazing. I think the Falcons are going to be there at the end, but we'll see. If they're not, Dan Quinn's going to be in a whole lot of trouble because, like you said, Arthur Blank has doled out a whole lot of cash to a whole lot of players to try to win a Super Bowl.
Steve White joins us from NFL Network. I can't figure this out. Maybe you have some insight on this. Up 42-3 yesterday. John Harbaugh and the Ravens run a fake punt against the Dolphins. Now, the Dolphins are basically a JV team right now. They were down 38 points to the Ravens. The Ravens ran a fake punt. How do you figure? What do you think the thinking is there?
Practicing. Look, man, teams are going to practice against the Dolphins this year. I may be making fun right now, but that's all I can think. Like, okay, we've got the situation. They gave us a look. It's wide open. Let's do it.
So you don't think it was personal? You do not think it's personal between Harbaugh and the Dolphins?
I mean, it could be personal. That again, I don't know anything about that, but I don't see why it necessarily would be personal. And if it is, you know, then the Dolphins got to do something the next time they play. But it's I'm not saying this is bad sportsmanship right here at all. I mean, it's Harbaugh's had it done to him. You know, the Patriots used to do it to him. Brian Flores and some of his coaches on the Patriots staff, maybe that's where he's taken out on, you know, but, you know, to be beating a team like that, I think teams are just classic. And it's going to happen. People, Miami got a full example of what this organization has decided to do with that club this season. And it is going to be a long, long year in Miami. And the Baltimore, that's a team no one's talking about. Saw him in training camp, DA, saw Lamar Jackson, came out of there completely blown away, and they put it on display week one. We'll see how they continue to do it when teams get film on them, but boy, do they look good.
You okay with the Dolphins essentially tanking?
Yeah, I mean, you know, my whole thing is they let it be out there. They let it be known. Guys, we're going to be horrible, okay? But it's not me that has to be okay with it, because right now Stephen Ross, you know, is going to say, okay, this is the plan. But if by week eight he's got 25,000 people in his stadium and they're just playing embarrassing, unprofessional type of football, okay, is he going to say, okay, I'm still with this plan, or he's going to say, I can't have this anymore? That's an issue that a lot of coaches have gotten caught up in. They've got burned by, where they come in with a certain expectation, and then they end up not the ownership doesn't end up adhering to that expectation, and then they get fired. So that's an interesting dynamic. But frankly, I've got no plan. They just told everyone what they were doing, and they're doing it.
Yeah. Right, how much appetite does ownership have when it's actually rubber hits the road? And like you said, it's really, really ugly.
Yep.
NFL Total Access, you can catch it tonight starting at 6 p.m. Eastern time in preparation for two Monday night games tonight, 7 p.m. the rest of the week. Steve White's joining us from NFL Network. It's always great, man. Thanks so much. Enjoyed your coverage from Cleveland yesterday.
Thanks a lot, DA. Take care.
You got it. Steve White's joining us from NFL Network. There's another theory that Brian Flores being on the Patriots staff might have had something with John Harbaugh running the fake punt up 38 points, since Harbaugh and the Patriots have gone back and forth for a long time. Maybe Harbaugh thought that Brian Flores had something to do with one of the ways that the Patriots cheat. I mean, try to find an advantage competitively. Sorry, did I say cheat? Sorry.
You're tired. It slips out.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure that the Patriots definitely didn't have any contact with Antonio Brown as Antonio Brown was trying to get released. I'm sure there was just kind of like, oh, you're a free agent now? Oh, okay, well, why don't we have some discussions? Yeah, why don't me and Drew Rosenhaus, we'll go out for lunch and we'll just chat about this.
And it did take 16 minutes, am I remembering correctly, for him to officially be released at 4 p.m. and then to come to terms with New England on a, you know, multi-million dollar agreement?
Steve White said it was 6 hours.
Oh, it was 6 hours. But okay, sorry.
It didn't feel like 6 hours.
No.
I don't think it was 6 hours.
Because he's not technically released. I mean, it was 6 hours maybe between the news breaking that they were cutting him.
Yeah, right.
But he's not technically free until 4 p.m. And wasn't it like 4:17 when the first tweet about him going to New England came out? I don't know. I was drunk at a block party Saturday, so it's all coming together.
That's a good way to spend your Saturday when the Patriots decide to cheat. I mean, sign a player that obviously just earned his release. What'd you think about Antonio Brown screaming and having a great old time with his grandma on the phone? Freedom, grandmama, freedom!
Look, I know a lot of people are going to be afraid to have this take. Grandma's got to take a lap there. Huh. I mean, how do you enable your grandson to think his behavior is okay? Or weren't we all raised by our parents, grandmothers, whoever, to show us to be better? You honestly don't think your grandson acted like a jerk for the last 6 weeks, that you're celebrating him being free from the Raiders? Grandma Brown's got to take a lap. She has to take a lap.
She has to take a lap.
Complete enabler.
Slowly.
Complete enabler.
No hips broken.
With a walker.
Yeah. No. You know, and this is the second old woman I've had a problem with on the show. First was Sister Jean.
Yeah,
obviously, her fraudness. Hey, and Antonio Brown's grandmother. You're a bad grandma. You are enabling your grandson. Take a lap. That's not okay what he did for 6 weeks. You're acting like he just got out of some horrible situation that somebody did wrong by him. No, he did wrong by everybody involved. And you as a grandmother are on the phone enabling him? She needs to get lost. Get lost, grandma.
Bad grandma.
Bad grandma. Horrible grandma. She's a bad grandma. Cake a lap.
You were trying so hard to be somewhat polite there.
I was, because you know what? It's an old lady. I get it. And you know what? We shouldn't pick on old ladies. You know, I understand the Werther's in the purse, the whole nine yards. But she answers the phone. She answers the phone and doesn't tell Antonio you're acting like a clown and get in line. You're a grandmother. You enabled an idiot grandson to act like a buffoon. And she's on social media. She probably don't even know what that exists. I mean, what a clown this grandmother is, really. She might be a bigger clown than Brown himself. Because she should know better, even if Brown doesn't, and she enabled this behavior.
We free, Grandma! We got freedom, Grandma!
What are you free from? You're $30 million guaranteed? You could have bought Grandma some new tennis balls for the walker. Instead, you're enabling your... get lost.
You could have paid for a guy to carry Grandma around.
By the way, how are you going to feel when Antonio Brown has confetti falling on his head in Miami at the Super Bowl and probably is MVP, at the very least has his championship
ring? It's going to be disgusting. It's going to be gross. You're going to be screaming, I hate the Patriots. Somebody stop the Patriots. Then we're going to show up. We're going to do a show after the Super Bowl. We're going to be miserable. You're going to disappear for 2 weeks to go to Miami or whatever you do. And then we're going to have to get back in and we're going to pretend we care about the NBA in February. This is exactly what's going to happen.
We free, Grandma! We free! By the way, it's amazing that Antonio Brown could feel put upon simply because Mike Mayock was going to fine him. Like, this is what started it off. You were late. You didn't show up. You knew you would get fined. And then he's like, how dare you fine me? How dare you? Mike Mayock's the devil. The devil. You were the one that didn't show up. Everybody gets fined that they don't show up to training camp. Every single one of them. And that starts this. Such an aggrieved soul.
And who's producing his videos? Universal Studios, by the way. The quality is unbelievable.
Great. They're really great.
Unbelievable.
They're really beautiful. I wish they produced Nomad.
It's
They're beautiful.
Crazy.
When we come back, is the Jaguar season over? We want also to get all your thoughts on week one of the NFL weekend, week one of the NFL season, rather. So hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4227. Antonio Brown of the Pats, the Browns, still losers. the Dolphins, really bad losers, Lamar Jackson looking good, all of that. 855-212-4227.
You like that, big boy?
I ate the sandwich in the studio, and that's it.
He used you for a meal, yeah, knowing he had already eaten breakfast. He used you.
You're a liar, because I ate the sandwich here, and that's it. And that's all I'm going to say about it. It's all fake news.
That was wrong by Pete. Bad guy.
It's a smear job because of my record. That's what it is. People want to take me down.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
30-13 Kansas City in the fourth. Mahomes out of the shotgun, wants to throw. Fires near side. Touchdown, Kansas City, and Sammy Watkins with the catch and an incredible game.
You know, getting back out there with the guys, but at the same time, you know, Gardner did a great job today stepping up. You know, that's not easy being a rookie against a, you know, talented team like the Chiefs. You know, I thought he did a really nice job of, you know, moving the chains.
Isn't life wild? 44 minutes past the hour, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Touchdown, Kansas City! And that was Nick Foles after the Jaguars get punched by the Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network and all of our terrestrial affiliates. Also on Sirius XM, Channel 206, satellite radio, and on the phone. Stream us using the radio.com app, Apple Music. Also, you can listen to us using the CBS Sports app as well. Doing More brought to you by the Home Depot. Next generation home improvement. Everything that you need to do. Project smarter. The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. Lamar Jackson. 17-20, 324, and 5 touchdown passes. Barely even had a scramble. Lamar Jackson puts up 59 points and only ran 3 times. They broke the franchise mark for points and total yards with 643. I say life is crazy when it comes to Nick Foles because think about Nick Foles' life. Foles, nobody believes in him at any point in time, really. Even when he had the 29 touchdown, 2 interception season for the Eagles, everybody thinks it's a total fluke. You're not a real starting quarterback in the NFL. That wasn't real. That was just a fluke. So nobody believes in him, even though you've now put up one of the greatest touchdown-to-interception ratio seasons of all time. Nobody believes in you. You have bounced around as a backup. Rams, Chiefs, Eagles. Nobody believes in you, ever. You cannot. Nobody believes you're a legitimate starting quarterback. Even when you do it, nobody believes it. You're a backup in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz goes down. You lead them to the Super Bowl. Lead them to a championship. You're still not the starter. You win the only Super Bowl ever for the Eagles. Nope, you're not good enough to be the starter. It's back to Carson Wentz. You're the backup again. Carson Wentz goes down. You do the same exact thing, winning a playoff game down the stretch, playing really well. And again, the Eagles go, nope, sorry, we got our own starting quarterback. So you go, you beat the bushes. It was going to be, are we going to be trading him? Are we going to be keeping him? What's going to happen? Finally, you get your, as Antonio Brown said, Grandmama, we got a freedom! Freedom! He gets his freedom, signs with the Jaguars, finally is a starter. Somebody finally said, you know what? We believe in you. We believe in you. You are finally our guy. On a pretty good team that's got playoff aspirations. And in the first quarter of the first game, you break your clavicle. Now, Nick Foles is a man of God. This is a man of faith. He openly talks about his faith in God. Could you imagine believing it's God's plan, it's God's plan, it's God's plan, it's God's plan? You finally, after all of these years, finally have your own starting job. And in a quarter, it's over. Life's funny sometimes. And now it's Gardner Minshew. Gardner Minshew. Now, Gardner actually played well yesterday. He really did. He played really well when he came in for the injured Foles. But I can't help but think about Nick Foles. I just feel like how unfair some things are. It's so unfair in so many ways. Like Tom Brady's going to play until he's 60, always be healthy, right? He's going to play in the easiest division ever for the entirety of his 95-year career. We're going to play another 100 years of the NFL. The AFC East will still stink. Brady's still going to be healthy. Here is Nick Foles. Finally has his opportunity in one quarter. Clavicle done. One quarter. It's just a sin. It's terrible. It really is. Is the Jaguar season over? No, because I don't think anybody in this division is going to run and hide. I don't think that this is going to be a division where anybody goes 12-4. So, you know, if you're around a 9 or 10 win mark, even if you're an 8 or 9 win trajectory, if you get Foles back final month of the season, maybe final 6 weeks of the season, I got to imagine they haven't put a timetable on it. He can't be back before Thanksgiving, I got to imagine. Broken clavicle week one. This was now what Rodgers was injured. He had this a couple of years ago. He came back for the final, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. He came back for the final 5, I think. So maybe you get Foles back for the final 5 weeks of the season. You know, in that division, you go on a run late with Foles coming back. This would be the perfect Nick Foles moment. We could only hope that Foles comes back for the final 3 weeks or 4 weeks of the season. They need to run the table. Foles does. They get into the playoffs. They win their wild card round game against, like, the Chargers or something. No, the Chargers won't win the division. But they end up winning that wild card game. Maybe they host, right? They host the Chargers. They win that game. Then they go to Foxborough. And Nick Foles does it to Brady and the Patriots again. That would be a beautiful Nick Foles God's plan story.
Boy, you're finding any way to take out the Patriots here. What a path you just carved out. What a path.
Well, stop me, though. I mean, if you had Foles at Foxborough in the divisional round, wouldn't that be a nice way to actually feel like a team could potentially win? Because every year, that game is just such dreck. Nobody ever goes there to win that divisional round game because they're always such terrible teams.
You're certainly right. But what gets lost in this whole thing is the idea that we were supposed to see this Jaguar defense back to where it is, and they had no freaking answer for Patrick Mahomes.
None whatsoever.
And Shady McCoy looked like he was 24 years old again.
No answers whatsoever, and they imploded again, and Miles Jack gets kicked out of the game, and once again, no discipline. And, you know, Doug Marrone after the game. I mean, talk about take a hike, Grandma. But here he is. I'm fired up for this team. I'm fired up. We got a great challenge ahead of us. Oh, shut up. You know, you couldn't keep all the players from totally melting down last season. Week one, it's happening again to you. The defense is supposed to be your strength, and you let Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense just do whatever it wanted. Oh, but we're fired up. I'm telling you this. I'm excited. Come on.
Do they call Sean McVay and offer a pick for Blake Bortles?
Oh, God, no.
Need a quarterback.
You don't want Blake Bortles back. I think they're fine with Gardner Minshew.
Are you crazy?
I don't think they think he's Foles. I think they think they can stay in the hunt with Gardner Minshew.
I think they're dreck with Gardner Minshew.
Gardner
Minshew, whatever it is. It sounds like something I wouldn't order.
Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. It's 855-212-4227. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Terry's next up. He's in Texas listening on radio.com to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. You know, all this Antonio Brown drama, I'll tell you what, AB needs to stand for all bull stuff because the amount of energy that it takes that you actually have to expend to watch all this, you know what I want to know? What if, while he's living with Brady, what if Giselle does something to make him mad, or Robert Kraft, or Edelman, somebody like that? Is he going to get away with calling him a cracker just because he's a good football player?
Yeah. Yes. The answer is yes. They will let Antonio Brown do whatever he wants as long as he plays football. Now, this would also be best case scenario. He does move in with Tom Brady, who reportedly has offered his home to AB, and that he goes totally psycho and, you know, stabs Brady's arm in the middle of the night. Sets all types of booby traps for Brady. Brady slips on marbles going down the steps, tears his ACL or something. This would be best case scenario that AB actually physically ends up ruining the Patriots season from within.
You're right, D.A. I think you need to call him and get some rest.
Wouldn't it would be like an episode of Scooby-Doo or something where Antonio Brown sets some type of booby trap. He digs a hole in the front yard. He lays palm leaves over it, and then Brady falls into it.
Throws a helmet through Brady's front glass bay window.
Yeah. Now we're talking. Jared's next up. He's in Pennsylvania, listening on radio.com as well. Good morning, Jared.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So it sounds like you want it to be like more of a Home Alone situation with Antonio Brown, huh?
That's true, yes. Yeah.
Setting traps everywhere. Yeah. That's hilarious.
That's right.
Just a quick question for you. I was wondering, after the first week, excuse me, what coach or coaches do you think are going to be fired during the season? Like, who do you think is going to be the first one? I'm a Redskins fan. I don't know if you watched that game yesterday. The Redskins were up 17-0 and playing really well.
Yeah, they look great.
And then they come out after halftime, and the same thing that a Jay Gruden team does, they fold. I mean, it's pathetic. It happens every single year, multiple times a year. And I'm just wondering, I hope he's the next one to go. You know, he'll end his job somewhere, you know.
He's on the chopping block, I'll tell you that much, Jared. But I think he's made enough of a relationship with Bruce Allen that they're all just saving their own butts because they're friends with Dan Snyder. And I wonder if that's enough to keep Jay Gruden's job. I think Dan Quinn's ultimately the first one fired. I think that that Falcons opener was such a disaster. There was so much pressure on that team to win. Arthur Blank has spent a lot of money. I think Dan Quinn, deservedly so, is the first one to go. We'll talk about the Cowboys and the Super Bowl coming up here next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.